Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Tonight, I'm going to teach you something my daddy taught me. He used to say, we talk to Jesus really sweet. When you're talking to Jesus, just do it sweet. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. Then he would say, we talk to the devil really mean. And he would teach us by saying, come on, we were all girls. He'd say, come on, girls, we're going to eat devils and chew them up for breakfast. Little pigtails, I eat devils for breakfast, you know. And we would talk mean to the devil. We don't ask the devil, we tell the devil what he's gonna do. We don't request anything from the devil, we command the devil to let loose of our people and to back up off of our situation and to release the things that he's tried to bind in our life. And then he would say one more thing, he would say, and we pray loud in the Holy Ghost. So I want you to join with me tonight. Come on, lift both of your hands up to heaven. If you really want a Holy Ghost night, you're gonna have to get in the game with me. Come on. Father, we thank you tonight that you are so good, that your mercy is everlasting, that you are here with us. Come on, if you pray in the Spirit, begin to lift your prayer language to God tonight. Come on, church. Come on, church. Father, we lift our voice to you. We expect from you tonight. Holy Spirit, you are faithful and you are true. You are so good. You're our coach. You're our guide. You're our help from heaven. You're our help in time of need. And we lift our eyes to heaven tonight because that's where our help comes from. The maker of heaven and earth. We know your name, God. Tonight we enter into your courts with thanksgiving. We come into your throne room with praise. And we say that this is the day that the Lord has made. And we choose to rejoice and be glad in it tonight. Let no stone go unturned tonight. Holy Spirit, do whatever you want. God, say whatever it is that you want to say. Change us and make us better than when we walked in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We came this week and just so grateful to minister at Kings. I want to thank you for giving me an opportunity and for giving us an opportunity. We love to go somewhere once, but it's so much fun when you go somewhere multiple times and you begin to get a relationship and fellowship with the people and know people and know their story. But God, every time that we go, it's like we give, but we also receive. How many of you know that you get to eat from the field you work in? And I want you to know that, like, people think that because they are working in a field, like the nursery, that God can't touch them there. But God will let you eat from the harvest of the field that you're working in. There's always leftovers on the side of the field, and a good master always lets the hungry eat from it. And our God is a good master. So I want you to know tonight, God hasn't forgotten you. Some of you feel like you've worked so long, God hasn't forgotten you. But what you've forgotten is that he sustains you with the food that he's allowed you to eat from that field. He's so good. Amen. And we came and we brought our book with us. And that book is our favorite thing right now because we just finished it and we're excited about that. It takes hard work to finish a book. But I want to encourage some of you. Some of you bought it. I want you to encourage you to pass it on to someone. I want you to buy one for somebody else. You got a niece, a nephew, a grandchild. And mainly, yes, we want them to get help in relationships. But God made a promise to Brian and I that if every time we got up to minister, we would give people an opportunity, that if our church, every service would give people an opportunity to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, that we would never go without people who needed Jesus coming to our church. And he has been so faithful. Thousands of people a year receive Christ in our campuses because every single service has a very concise, very crisp gospel presentation. And so we decided not to leave that out of our book. And chapter 10 is actually knowing how to wrap your life around the greatest relationship. And so we just gave a very clear-cut gospel presentation. So maybe you think, you know, I don't know if God can help this marriage that I want to send this book to. I want to let you you know something, at the end of that book, they're going to realize in a very clear and concise way that they need Jesus in their life. And so it's actually an evangelistic tool that's in your hand as well. I was thinking today about how the church, we do good in the rejoicing. How many of you love to celebrate? I mean, it's just really good. We're not so good at having fun sometimes in the celebration. Like, I remember we built a building and Brian got up in the altar. We were just looking out and my heart was busting. I'm like, look at this. We have built a place for God to do his work and these people have come and I was so excited. And he's holding my hand and he turns to me and he says, we need a bigger building. First day, I said, boy, I'm gonna need you to rejoice for 5 minutes. It's been a long year, and here we go, right? So sometimes, you know, we're just not really great at like super celebration. We try to be good at celebration in our house. We don't have anything else to rejoice over. We'll just turn on music and dance just so our kids will learn to celebrate. We have a little game that we play on the way home, see who can take the best route and win. We're competing constantly, laughing constantly, trying to dance constantly, trying to make sure that our kids are having a celebration. And Brian, he teases me because I'm constantly trying to make whatever we're doing in ministry fun. I'm like trying to make them like it, you know? And so Brian's not usually that person, but since we've been here, every 5 minutes he goes, would you look at those mountains? Look at those mountains. Like, Brian, we've been seeing them for a few days now. They're still there. He loves the mountains, loves all the things, but we asked God yesterday to see a specific kind of animal, and we were going through it. We saw that animal. We stopped and took a video of it. We sent it to all the great nieces and nephews that are babies because they love all the animals, and we were just having so much fun and rejoicing, and I'm thinking, man, we're so good at, you know, those kind of things. And then some of us even get good in the hard times. You know, we're good at, like, grit for God. Like, we're tough enough that we can get into the things of God. But some of us aren't good at, like, the just mundane, boring days in God. And if you serve God long enough, there'll be a boring and a mundane day and a hard day and a good day, celebratory day, and then you're going to start the cycle all over again. And if we are going to be kingdom people, we really need to learn how to do every season in God, every place in God well. We need to learn to walk that journey out with him, to be okay if everything's not perfect, and to be okay if everything is, to abound and to know how to be abased, to know how to flourish and how to be in hardship. Does that sound familiar? I think Paul said something like that. And so I'm thinking about this, and I've been going through the beginning of the Old Testament this year and talking about the people of God on their journey of faith into their promised land. How many of you have ever read the story of the Israelites as they journey across that desert? And there's 40 years of story for an 11-day journey. Come on. And anybody that does not understand that has not taken a cross-country road trip with a bunch of teenagers. But I have, so it's all clear to me. Like, I know exactly what happened on their journey. We see so many things that we can look at and say, man, there's this kingdom principle that I can learn from that. You know, Moses was a great leader, but he wasn't a perfect one. They were complaining again, because how many of you know people complain? You can be anywhere in the world. You can be in the most beautiful place. You can be in the ugliest place, the driest place. If you go to the beach and it's too humid, people are talking about how their hair is frizzy. It's like, look at the ocean. But our nature is to think about the one thing that isn't working out for us right then. So the people of God, he leads them out of Egypt in this mighty triumph. I mean, God moved for them. There were plagues, you guys. They saw them with their own eyes. And they were not even halfway outside the Egyptian camp. And they were already like, man, that food was good. Like, was it? Because there were like flies all over it just a few days ago. And there were all kinds of things going on. Like, they forgot about all of that. Isn't it funny that when we want something in our flesh, we can forget all the stuff God did and remember all the good stuff about the kingdom of hell and the darkness? And we forget completely what God did, and we completely forget the bad parts of it too. It's like we do games with ourselves in our head. And so we watch the Egyptians, and they're no more out of Egypt than they're already complaining. And Moses is like, come on, guys, let's just get started. Can we just get on the journey? And all the kids scream, are we there yet? And Moses says, no, not even close. How many of you have ever been on a road trip and someone says, are we there yet? Yeah, you're like, if you say it one more time, just see what happens to you. Moses gets out there in the desert. He goes up to meet with God, and literally he's there like 3 days. And by the time he comes out, he's like, what is that noise? They sound like they're having a party. What is going on down there? Yep. They built a golden calf. They've already melted all their earrings and rings down, and they've built a golden calf. And he's like, I left you guys for like literally 2 days and like 16 hours. And I can't. He's like, Aaron, what's going on? He's like, they needed something to worship. I gave it to them. He's like, you're supposed to be the leader that uses your voice to help me get there. And you're already melting people's earrings down. And you guys, so I told my worship team, we were leaving to go to Hawaii a couple months back. And I said, listen, I'm going to go to Hawaii. I've got one thing for you. Be sweet to the people while I'm gone. And don't build a golden calf. Just don't do either one of those things. And we laughed, but that's exactly like a little vacation. Moses went to get a little rest and reprieve, and he comes back. So Moses began to get frustrated, and he would do things like they were asking for water. And he's like, God says he'll give it to him, but he just, instead of being in faith that what God says that he's true to, he begins to beat the rock. And the next thing we know, God's mad at him, you know, because he did the wrong thing. And then he writes down the Ten Commandments, and that literally sealed the deal. Moses never entered into the promised land because he had an anger issue with his leader. Leadership, and he threw those things down, and then God's like, oh, yeah, yeah, here we go. Let's try again. So he sends him back up, and he has him do it again. How many of you, they're just lesson after lesson after lesson. He sends manna every single day. Every single day. Fresh bread from heaven. No big deal. God cooked for you today.
Hallelujah.
And they were like, you know, chocolate ice cream sounds good. This is a little stale. I don't love it. He's like, listen, I am not cooking for you on the Sabbath day. I'll cook for you every other day of the week. Keeps a little extra on the day before because you're going to need that bread. And they're like, I think I'll save it. And I think I'll just go ahead and toss it out. And we'll see what God does tomorrow. And he's like, what is wrong with you? Why'd you throw it? I just told you to save it. And then he says, do not keep it from one day to the other, any other day. And they're like, you know, we'll just try it out. I'm going to put a little in my pocket, see what happens. And the next thing you know, it's covered in maggots. Like, they could not get it right. It was like God was just so frustrated in the journey with them. But if you think, like, what took 40 years? I think we all know what took 40 years because I think we know what's taken us 40 years. God's been trying to mature us and push us in our faith and get us to agree with him and what he wants. And really, we can't see the whole story, but it's about an 11-day journey. And God's looking at us and saying, come on. And some of you are like in the birthing stage, like, this is my moment. There's one thing I remember about giving birth to babies, and that was that at the very end, you want to run for the hills and say, no, thank you, I'm done. This is not going to work for me. And so I told Brian, like, I had read it before. I'm like, listen, there's this moment, and it says that I'm going to want to run, which obviously I'm not because I'm going to do so good. But if I start saying, I'm not going to give birth to this baby, I want you to look me in my eyes and say, it's almost over. We're almost there.
Come on.
He said, okay. But I don't think he really believed it was going to happen. And inevitably, with every child, I looked him in the eyes and I said, I can't do this. It's too much. It's too much. I can't do it. You're gonna have to get me out of here. Let's run away. I don't wanna do this anymore. This is a bad idea. And every time, like clockwork, Brian looked me back in the eyes and said, it's almost over. You've got this. And we would have a baby in about 10 minutes. But some of you in the room, some of us in general, in the kingdom of God, have aborted babies in the spirit so often because we just aren't willing to stick there till the deal is done. And when the things get hard in church or in relationships or with our brothers and sisters in Christ, we run for the the hills and say, it's too hard. I don't want this. I do not want to do it anymore. And God is just looking and saying, if I could get one person to just bring the baby forth, we could have mature believers in the kingdom of God.
Hallelujah.
We've created so many churches that if you don't like this one, you can just jump and go. It's like spiritual popcorn all over town. Brian and I have personally created like 8 churches right in the middle of the first city that we started one in. Because people, if they don't like something, if it doesn't feel good, if they don't, whatever, it just like spiritual popcorn. We're just, oh, don't like that heat. I'm just going to pop on over here. And the thing is that you can do that your whole life and you can be a 70-year-old spiritual infant.
Come on.
Because you won't stay in the heat till God gets the good stuff out of you. And you're hard and you're not appetizing. Nobody wants to be like you, and God looks like a liar.
Come on. Say that again.
But God, oh, we wanted the Holy Spirit night. I'm just giving you what you asked for. This is good stuff. Because this is the stuff that will literally heat up the spiritual life of a spiritual infant until the popcorn, the good stuff, that tender part comes out and it's fluffy and nice and you can pour butter on it and everybody likes it. You say, Jesse, I am not popcorn. I promise you that if you will stay on the griddle of God long enough and allow him to heat things up for you, you will see a life that is unmatched. If you will not run for the hills when the pain gets too tough, God wants to take you into the next season of your life with strength and power. And he wants to do it with this place where you are standing in front of people, and whether they love or hate you, they still want to serve your God. He wants to make you something that people look at and say, man, whoever they serve, that's the God I want to serve. Amen. Because he is faithful and he is true. And every man can say whatever they want, but God is faithful to his word.
Amen.
All of these people all around, all the time, living in a camp together, the people of God. Do you know God puts us in a church, in a camp, for a reason? Because he loves us. And like iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And Susie that works in the greeters team with you, that bugs you every single Sunday, and if you have to hear a story about her grandbaby one more time, you're going to jump out that window. And you don't want to deal with her anymore. And God looks at that and he says, oh, you're never getting away from Susie. Susie's going to be here at your funeral. She's actually going to be a pallbearer for you. So cool how God will take someone who rubs you the wrong way and make them one of the people that you love the most if you stay in the kingdom long enough.
Come on, that's good.
We're not meant to get away from those people. We're meant to gather what God's asked us to gather in those situations and relationships. So he takes all these people of God and he's got them in this camp, and they've been living together and journeying, and they've been without, and they've been eating manna for 40 years. I mean, it's time to have a breakthrough. And their leader dies. Moses dies before the miracle comes to pass.
Hallelujah.
Can you imagine the discouragement in the camp? God assigns Joshua because he was full of faith on the spying mission with Joshua and Caleb. And he went in and everybody else saw the problem, but he saw the answer. God chooses him.
Hallelujah.
But Joshua needs something to make him a made man. These people don't trust him yet. They don't think he knows what he's doing. He's the younger generation. He's a problem. The people that were supposed to go in are dead now. They've all died. They all got kept out. God is waiting to see if the next generation will rise up and take their position. Nobody thinks they've got what it takes because they don't even have the marks of holiness. They haven't even been circumcised like the old generation was to physically represent that God had touched their life and that they were powerful enough to be God's people. They had cut a part of themselves to give God everything, and these young people, all they had done is just wander in the desert. They hadn't even seen the plagues. They hadn't seen the move of God. Some of them may or may not have seen that any of the things that had gone on, and God still wanted to use them, and he had a plan because he had a man who had a measure of faith. Joshua says to him, God, I'll do it. And here we find ourselves in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, he was Moses' assistant. And now he has to lead all of these people. Moses led the tribes out. Now there are as many as the stars of the sky. It's a big group of people.
Come on.
Joshua is a young man. Moses, my servant, this is what God says. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, or okay, time to move on. Arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. And I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life as I was with Moses. So I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. How many of you can say that with me tonight? God will not leave me and God will not forsake me. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand and do not turn to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Isn't God good? He is with you wherever you go. So when you take off, just like Brian said on Sunday night, the miracle is in the walk. And God begins to light the way. And it's just like those bathrooms that you go into and you don't think there's going to be any light. You can't find the switch, but you step in and boom, the light comes on. God's waiting on you to step and then he'll illuminate the path. God wants to do something for you, but he's asking you, will you take your word, my word, and eat it and put it inside of you and hide it in your heart that you might not sin against God? Because if you'll take that word and you'll hide it inside of you and begin to live according to it, then you will find your way prosperous and then you will have good success.
Hallelujah.
That's the God we serve. He's saying, you got to go. You got to walk in faith, but don't worry. I'm going to be with you. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. And guess what I'm going to send with you? My word. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go and to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. There is a place that God has called you to. And God wants to cause you to possess that place. Some of you have been so laid back in your walk with God and allowed life to happen to you, but God wants to talk to you tonight about being a possessor of the land. Amen. He's not looking for you to lay back and let life happen to you. God is looking for you to possess the land that He has already assigned to your life, because in that land is provision. And we know that they're going to the promised land, but these kids need some direction. They need some help from heaven. They need some power. And he goes on in this next chapter and he begins to tell Joshua, Joshua, you're going to go in, you're going to have a mighty success, and I'm going to use it to mark you, and the people will know that just like I was with Moses, I will be with you. Hallelujah. Joshua saying, oh God, I ask you to do it. I ask you to do it. Oh God, help me today. I need such, because there are people in there that are like, I knew you when you were just running around tents. Come on. And you, I didn't see any anointing on you. I didn't see any leadership on you. I remember what you did to that boy. You were mean to him. You said something ugly. I don't see God on you. See, sometimes you can dwell so close with people that they miss the mark of God on your life. But God doesn't miss the mark.
Hallelujah.
Josh was there and he's running and he's like, okay, we got to get this done. And he's so excited and he's pumping them up. And he's like, I'm going to send captains. He sends these captains out and they begin to tell the people. They're like, hey, we're leaving. And within 3 days, we're crossing that Jordan. And they're like, that Jordan's got a lot of water. It looks really bad. But I'm not going to say it to Joshua because he's all good at being faith-filled, you know. So he's got his confession straight. So we all need to kind of get behind him and go with it. And really, they want him to win because it's like their first thing that they're doing, right? I remember us going to Owensboro. I remember us starting our and planning our first church. And I remember what we did. We did not have what it took in the natural. We didn't have money. We didn't know any people. And we were not that fantastic. It was perfect prime soil for God to grow a church in.
Come on. Hallelujah.
So we just went in, and I remember Brian saying, God, I need a miracle. I need you to give me a miracle, a sign, and a wonder. So we began to pray for signs, souls, and success. Signs, souls, and success. We would gather together with the little team we had and pray for signs, souls, and success. I'll never forget that teaching because it went on for like 6 months because Brian was really revving himself up to get in there and have signs, souls, and success. And I remember saying, God, we need a sign because I know they're not going to believe Brian because he's 26 and I'm 23 and this is dumb and I don't know why we're doing it, God. And I know you said it, so we're going to do it, but I'm real nervous and my daddy doesn't even believe in me. Like, nobody believes in me. And I'm just like, this is real bad. Like, when your mama doesn't show up to your church plant start, you got problems.
Come on.
Dad, we could use like an extra like $50 so I could not have a sheet and have like a screen kind of thing. And my dad's like, yeah, talk to me in a year if you're still at it, you know? And I'm like, oh, God, we need souls, we need signs, we need success. These people need to know that you said it because I don't want to do it. So if it's what you want, then you got to show up and show out. And you better believe he did.
Hallelujah.
Man with a flesh-eating bacteria shows, they want Brian to go, he has a flesh-eating bacteria. Could you go into the to hospital and put your hand on him and pray for him? And I'm like, that sounds like a bad idea. And Brian's like, yes, I will. Let's go. And he just marches right into this man's hotel. Good gracious. It's no hotel. Hospital room. And he walks in and lays hands on him. And like 2 days later, we got the report that that flesh-eating bacteria stopped. And he was perfectly whole.
Hallelujah.
Through the power of God. Miracle signs and wonders. Brian prophesied one night. He said, you better get your affairs in order. It comes quickly. I had no idea what that meant. The next day, 2 days later, the guy dropped dead. I'm like, that doesn't seem like a word from the Lord. That seems like the devil. And his wife came to Brian the next day. She said, you have no idea. We didn't know anything was wrong. He'd been praying and asking God. He was in so much pain. He wanted to go to heaven. But his kids needed some things, and I needed some things. And we would have had nothing, been left without everything. The day after Brian prophesied, he went, got all of his affairs in order, got the insurance right, got everything settled.
Come on.
Dropped dead that night or the next morning. And through him getting, he had made a decision already. He was going to heaven. He'd already made up his mind. But when Brian said, he said, man, I better go get my, I've been asking the Lord to take me because he had a disease that caused a lot of pain. He didn't want to be healed, but he wanted his family taken care of. God covered them. That lady still today, foster parents, multiple teenage girls that nobody else wants in their home. And she takes good care of them with the same money that God set up for her to do the miracle.
Hallelujah.
Within 2 weeks' time, God had set us up to have miracles, signs, and wonders all throughout our ministry, and he continued to do it. But they were massive ones that I didn't understand. I couldn't wrap my brain around, but God did some things for us to move, and we gained a notoriety in that city that we could get miracles if you needed one, and people began to come from every which direction, and God filled that house. Joshua needed a miracle from God, so he asked, God gave the direction, and he began to send the captains out to spread the vision. He began to send those captains out, and all those captains gathered around, and they said, we need to get ready. You leave your wives, your kids, and your cattle here. We're going to march in. We're going to take this place, and we're going to take it in the next few days. Then God says, I want the priests to go ahead, and I want them to take the box of God, carrying the power of God, the presence of God inside of it, and I want them to put their foot into the river, and when they do, it'll dry up. Now, you have to remember that these kids most likely were not anywhere around when he already had done it at the Red Sea. They'd only heard about it as a rumor.
Hallelujah.
But they put their foot in that, the new priest that had come along, put their foot in that water. And when that happened, it began to be held back towns down the way.
Hallelujah.
And God held that water for 40,000 soldiers to walk across that place. If you ever think for 1 second that your preachers and your pastors aren't doing anything, it looks like they sit around and drink coffee and pray. I gotta work. If you think for 1 second that your pastors are not doing a powerful work, if the devil even tries to whisper in your ear that somehow it has nothing to do with them, I give you my word of honor that there are men of God standing in the riverbed holding back enough water for 40,000 of you to cross. And that water was coming for you and your family. Priests have to be tough. They don't get easy jobs. They got to be strong. I mean, you're hacking up animals and slaughtering and getting the blood. I mean, this is not a pretty job for somebody with a pretty robe and pretty hair and pretty face. And I think our preachers are too pretty sometimes. Our female preachers aren't pretty enough. Our male preachers are too pretty. We're all mixed up. Listen. The priests were powerful.
Amen.
They obeyed God, stood there with that box on their shoulders. I mean, God knows how long that took, holding the water back so that the soldiers could get through. And when those preachers stepped out of that water, all the water began to flow. I am telling you, if there is one thing that you pray for in the week, pray for your pastors.
Amen.
Pray that the water would not consume the families of this church.
Amen.
That God would give them strength. Then you want to start by praying for your pastor's wife and begin to tell them, God, give her strength, give her clarity, give her wisdom beyond anything she knows in the natural. God, give her body strength, because if the devil can't get to a man of God, he'll go after his woman to distract him so that he can't look at the right thing. Because how many of you know we love our person? If we pray and shield and hold up and invest our time in that, if we bless and speak well of and teach our kids to love the house of God and the people of God and the things of God, we have invested great treasure where it matters. Those priests stood in the way of everything that consumed the people of God, and it would have taken the whole lineage out because the men were there. The seed would have been wiped out, but God. They stepped across on dry land, and then Joshua had another group. He said, we need 12 people who take a rock from that dry riverbed. When you go through, one from every single tribe, I want you to get that rock, and I want you to hang on to it for dear life, because when we pass over and we set camp, we're going to build a monument to God. And for the rest of your lives, when your children say, "What are those rocks?" you're going to say, "God did a miracle for us that day, and he allowed us to walk across on dry land." Listen, the people in the city of Jericho already knew they were coming. The prostitute told them that they were going to have an easy time because they were melting with fear, and they were coming across, but they had to stop first and honor God. If you really want a miracle from God, I'm telling you, there will be a moment where you must stop and honor God with your obedience.
Amen.
But the miracle's right there. We need to get there. No. We need to stop and honor God. No, but the miracle's right there. We got to get there. No. We need to stop and honor God. No. I've got so many things to do. This business to build. It needs my time. Whoa. You got to stop and honor God. Set up something that can tell from one generation to the next the wonderful works of the Lord, so that we never forget the story. That's why church is so important, because every week we stop every bit of toil and we stop and honor God.
Hallelujah.
But the miracle's right there, Jesse. If we just push through, we could get one more thing done this week. We could probably get ahead of the game. We might do better if we just, no, you won't do better. No, you stop and you honor God.
Amen.
You set up a monument for your family, for your children, that says we stop and honor God.
Hallelujah.
Because he's a God of miracles.
Amen.
I have a special friend that I just got a testimony from this week. It blessed me so much, I'm going to share it with you. It'll encourage your faith. She came to me years ago and she said, "Pastor Jesse, I have a problem. I was abused as a young girl by my stepfather, and it's really concerning me, hurting me. I've got some side effects from it." And of course, I went straight to get her internal healing. But then I began to ask her, "Where is this man?" She said, "Well, I never reported it to the police, so he's still free." I said, "Where does he live?" She said, "He lives in a house with two little girls." I said, "Honey, today, God has called you to be a hero."
That's right.
"And we're going to go to the police station."
That's right.
"And we're going to tell them what that man did, and then we're going to fight until we get him put behind bars, because that's what I do with men that hurt children." I know we can all have grace, but today we're going to talk about the little girl.
Because
I'm a pastor, and I'm called by God to protect children. Because if you hurt a little one, it's better for a millstone to be tied around your neck. So she looked at me and she said, "What do you think I could do that?" I said, "Oh, I know you could. In fact, you're the only one who can. Because you're 20. And those little girls are little, and they don't have anyone to speak up for them, but you have a voice, and it's strong. And I believe in you because you're strong. And today you're going to become a hero."
Hallelujah.
And I said, "I'm going to go with you. I'm going to hold your hand. We're going to tell them the whole story, and we're going to let God do the rest." So we go, and we show up, and she does an incredible job. Super proud of her. And I say, "You did great." She's like, "I'm not mad at him, though." I said, "That's fine. You cannot be angry and still do the just thing for another child." She said, "Okay, all right." So she tells them, they said, "Thank you so much. This is such a good thing." Fast forward to today, that same little girl still in the house of God, serving in the things of God, because she has decided that her family will serve the Lord.
Amen.
Is standing on the stage at our kids' camp with her little boy, and she says, she goes up dressed as Hannah, and he's Samuel. And she's telling the kids in a very dramatic way that if you'll be faithful to honor God, he'll be faithful to you. That if you can believe God for anything that is in the Word of God, that he can do it for you, and he will do it for you every time. That if you'll lift your prayer to heaven, that God's ear will be open to you. And she said, "Today, I am speaking over you kids that God is going to release into your life a miracle that you ask him for today." Now, what no one knew was that that same case was supposed to go to trial next week. And we had all set our schedule to go to that trial with that precious girl. And she was nervous about it, but more than that, she had always wanted to go to youth camp because the years he spent molesting her were the years she should have been in youth camp. She wanted to go as a leader, walk into that camp and have an experience, but I knew she really kind of wanted a little of her childhood back, that it was kind of a big deal to her. And they came and said, we're going to put the trial on this week. And she said, no, that doesn't work. That's the week I go as a leader. I'm 25. I'm going as a leader to, and she got really upset. So I began to personally, without telling her, ask that God would shut the case down and fix it and make it all right, and that she would not have one more piece of her childhood stolen from her. I began to ask God personally as a favor to me that he would do it for that little girl. And today, as she stepped off the stage serving God, taking time to honor him, not getting ahead of what God had for her, but being faithful in the journey that she had with God, as she stood there with her little boy, pregnant with her little baby, having a family that sits on the front row every single Sunday and serves in the youth ministry and does what she's called to do, and there's not a week that goes by that her tithe check isn't in the bucket because she refuses to let her children not have a moment where they stop and honor God. She walked down off that platform and the DA was on the phone. She answered it and he said, case closed. He's going to prison for 15 years. You don't have to testify. Everything's off, and he gave his yes. That may mean nothing to you, but it's everything to me, because not only did God provide himself faithful and protect children in the process, but my friend is on her way to youth camp, and no more of her childhood is going to be stolen from her from the enemy of her soul. There is power in honoring God. And as they got across, they built that, and he began to say, I want you to tell every generation as they ask, why is this here? It is here because God was faithful. It is here because God was faithful. Now, I don't know where you are in the journey of God. I don't know who you are in the tribe of God. I don't know if you're a captain. Listen, you can either be a gossip or a captain. I choose to be a captain, because how many of you know some of us can run our mouth professionally? And these captains were assigned a task to run their mouth. I have specific people in the church that I just keep busy with the good gossip, is what I call it, good gossip of God. Just keep telling them. If I want the whole church to know something, we don't make an announcement. I tell Miss Sally over here that runs her mouth professionally, and I just let her spread it throughout the whole thing, and it gets around. She's a captain because she's been redeemed.
Hallelujah. Come on, that's good.
God can use anything for his glory. Maybe you're a spy that goes into the land and comes back with the report of faith. They're melting in fear of us. Let's go in and take it. Maybe you're a Joshua who's called to lead with faith. Maybe you're a mama who stayed back in the tent so that the people of God could win without a toddler on their hip. I don't know who God's called you to be today, but I do know that God will use us all because we are all a part of the body. Maybe you're called to be a priest that stands in the way of the water and protects the sheep, and you're against wolves and for sheep, and it is your job to stand in the way. Maybe you're called by God to do that. Maybe you're a mighty warrior that steps across and protects everyone in the process. Maybe, just maybe, you get the joy of being a legacy builder. Those are those rock carriers that carry it across, and every chance they get, they say, our God is faithful, because we overcome not only by the blood of the Lamb, but the word of our testimony. And our testimony is that God is faithful. I don't know what. See, most people would have preached on Jericho because that was the miracle and it's the joy surrounding it. But somebody's got to preach about the journey. Because if we don't know how to do the journey well, we'll miss half of the joy of the kingdom. If you don't know where you're called in the journey, then I just encourage you, man, begin to ask God, what have you called me to? What do I do here? Because I want to be a part in any way, shape, form, or fashion that it comes. I want to be a part. And maybe you've been with God a long time, or maybe you have just come to know him and you're already far on in your years. Guess what? The reward is the same at the end of the day as it is whenever they hired in the morning.
Hallelujah.
The God of the field is still the one that pays the same.
Amen.
He's calling in workers because the Bible says that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, call to the God of the harvest and ask him to send laborers into that harvest. And I promise you that there have been people in this church every single morning praying that God would send laborers into the harvest. And this valley is ripe for the harvest right now. And maybe you just showed up and God's giving you an assignment tonight. Because he wants to show himself faithful to you, your family, your children, the people around you. God wants to show off for you. He wants to send you signs, success, and souls in your life. God wants that for you. And so he sent a small little redheaded girl from Texas to tell you that God will use you. Because your gift isn't too small. The only gift I had in my whole life was that I could talk. And teachers hated my guts. But kind of loved me too because I was funny. But they all tried to shut me down, and traditional school was just so hard for me. And I went through it till I was in the 12th grade, and it was just super difficult. Because God knows that those teachers were not good at talking, and I was. So I would take over every classroom and they would hate my days with them. So many of them, it's so funny, as God began to develop that, and really he took me through a whole year where he took my gift and shut it completely down. I would go out with my friends on Friday night and God would say to me, "You don't talk." I'd be like, "God, I don't know if you know it or not, but there's a reason they invited me. I'm a party. Like, let's go. I'm not going to do anything bad. I'm just going to show up, but like, I'm fun." And God was like, "Nobody needs to hear your voice." And it was hard. It was like from sophomore year to junior year, God just kept coming after me because he was reining in this gift, like reining it in, and like, "You shut your mouth and let me do what I need to do." And I'm like, "But God, there's so much I have to say. I have 5 comebacks to that thing." And God would be like, "Shh." Like, "Oh, these poor people missed out on all the goodness." It was like every fiber of my being was just being like tamed, and it was like a wild stallion being tamed. My tongue was like a rudder and it was guiding the ship in really bad ways. And God was trying to get a hold of it so that I could actually use it for kingdom purpose. So I don't know what your gift is, and I don't know how God needs to tame it or what the process is for you or the journey that you're on, but I do know he'll be faithful if you'll submit yourself to him. I have had so many teachers from my childhood come and listen to me preach now and say, "I want to apologize to you for not seeing the gift of God on the, I never saw the gift." Like, I was voted like least likely to ever succeed or go to college. I did both. And now they're like, "Wow, that actually worked. I never thought anything in you would work." But God. See, if we can submit our gift and say, "God, I want to be a part of the people of God in the camp of God, and I want to experience all the normal, all the journey, all the highs, all the lows. I just want to be with the people of God in the house of God doing the things of God. And whatever you want from me, you take it, God. It belongs to you." Then something powerful can take place in you. God can use you in a mighty way. And I'm here to encourage you tonight. Whatever it is that is in your heart, be faithful, because God says, "Don't turn to the right hand or to the left. Keep going, and I will cause you to possess the land." But first, we've got to get across the Jordan. How many of you are willing to get across the Jordan with God? Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.